Bloomberg Surveillance. Good morning, everyone. On a Friday, what does Francine Lacroix demand? A good chart. You know, the charts can be interesting here as well. One of them we talked about this week was Canada, which is Dollar Canada, which is loony, and it has moved big figures, something of the theme we've been talking to Rebecca Patterson about. She's at Bridgewater, Director of Investment Research. Rebecca, all this is fine. How does Canadian loony big figures, six standard deviations, I fitted it the other day asymmetrically, how does that fit into, say, equity analysis or interest parity analysis?
Oh, Tom, you're always fun at 6 a.m., aren't you?
I'm trying.
Only on Fridays, Rebecca.
You know, I actually think it's really, really important that you brought up currencies, because so many people, when they're thinking about their portfolio, thinking about a stock and bond allocation or what kind of country exposure they want, but most investors don't hedge currency risk. And so your return is really going to be the equity and the currency. And so you do need to think about both. And I think a lot of folks are just afraid of currencies. They're complicated. And so they just say, I'm just going to worry about the equity, and the currency will mean revert over a long enough time period. But I think as we go into 2021, making sure you're looking at both attributes of your portfolio, the currency as well as what other asset in another country you're holding, is going to be particularly important, because as we get different paces of economic reopenings, as we get different sizes of fiscal and monetary stimulus, as we get different currency responses in a weak dollar environment, all of those things are going to affect your total return through the currency. I think there'll be a lot of differentiation next year. I mean, even this year, look at the renminbi, right? The Chinese renminbi up about 6% against the dollar. And that possibly could continue. I think you mentioned earlier this morning about Chinese monetary policy looking fairly steady next year while everyone else is trying to ease further.
Rebecca, I've got to switch gears to parity strategies, derivative strategies matching A against matching B to squeeze out a little bit of a gain. What have you learned this year about parity strategies at the zero bound or with negative real rates where they are?
You know, I think so many investors around the world are grappling with what do you do with bonds in your portfolio in terms of having different types of assets and using them for diversification, for return, et cetera. And a lot of developed market bonds in particular, frankly, just aren't very attractive at this point. So what do you do, to your question? And I think the good news is there are a lot of options. First of all, the strategies we run never depend on any one asset. We're always looking for a balance of assets that are going to perform well in different economic environments. But to the point on bonds, a zero rate world, I think you have options, whether you're looking at gold or inflation-linked bonds, especially in a world where the Fed is trying to push real yields down and inflation up. I think you can even look within the equity market to companies with stable cash flows, with companies that are more resilient, for example, and be able to take some of those equities and engineer them in such a way that you can get something that, while certainly not a substitute for bonds, can be a complement to your portfolio. So I think one thing we've learned this year, and obviously this is research that started years and years ago, but the pandemic certainly made us double down our focus, is making sure that there are an ample portfolio, if you will, of assets that can provide that diversification stability but still help us get our return.
Rebecca, what's the first to-do thing on Janet Yellen's list?
Ooh, that's a good one. You know, Janet Yellen, I think, is such a right person at the right time for this seat, in that, you know, she's been at the Council of Economic Advisers, so she's been in the White House, she's been chair of the Fed, now Treasury, and we are in a world today where we believe monetary and fiscal policy have to be much more closely aligned. So the fact that she understands how the Fed works inside out and can really bring those two bodies together to make sure that the Fed can facilitate the budget deficits we need. You know, the Fed needs to keep printing. We expect QE is going to be running. I mean, the market's discounting about 7% of GDP over the next year or two at least before tapering begins. So they're going to facilitate the large budget deficits by keeping interest rates low. I think Janet Yellen is going to be part of the team that's trying to make sure we have enough fiscal support to bridge the gap until the vaccine can allow a real reopening of the economy. And that's a couple of quarters away. And even then, you know, we are in you know, one of the lights at the end of the tunnel, I guess, or silver linings, if you will, to this horrible year, is that with interest rates so low, debt service costs so low, it is a time to think about investment in the economy that can increase productivity growth in the years to come. So things like infrastructure, things like education, research and development, the hurdle, if you will, for those things to be additive for the economy, both short and longer term, is pretty low. And so I would think that Janet Yellen, one of the things she'll be doing when she gets in, is working with the rest of the administration and Congress to try to see what they can get done on that front.
I mean, just because she knows also the Fed intimately, is it less likely that we have some kind of policy mistake because the channel of communication will be open in 2021?
I certainly think that's helpful. I wouldn't want to go on the record saying there will never be a policy mistake in Washington, because at the end of the day, we're humans and there are a lot of humans running around in Washington. But I definitely agree with you. I think the fact that she knows both parts of the policy spectrum, if you will, monetary and fiscal, augurs well for really good coordination in a world where that has to happen. Whereas in other countries, you know, you're in London right now, we're looking at, you know, some kind of Brexit deal, hopefully in the next few days, whether it's a free trade agreement or a crash out. But here we are looking at 2021, and the Chancellor of the Exchequer is still today talking about possible fiscal tightening next year. And that to me is a little concerning, because if you have monetary trying to get the inflation rate up, trying to reflate, and fiscal going the other way, that could be something that slows down the recovery in the UK vis-a-vis other countries. Again, part of the differentiation we expect to see in the year ahead, really driven by fiscal policy stances.
Thank you so much, Rebecca Patterson there, Bridgewater Director of Investment Research, joining us.